Big Sam left Seattle in the year of 92 with George Pratt, his partner, and brother Billy too.
Friends, this segment is made possible by Platinum Cadillac and Chevrolet in Terrell, Texas. Stop by and visit with my buddy, Mr. Justin Rudd, and his team of experts, and let them put you in a new Chevy pickup or a Cadillac or whatever you might be in the market for. Also, the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma. Check them out at ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Also made possible by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed Mr. Wysoon there. He's always a lot of fun and always shares some good information. I want you to meet somebody else that's got an interesting topic. Mr. Matt Burgess, a friend of mine. Matt guides all over the world. I think that's a true statement. But recently he was guiding up on the ice with the Inuit people for a polar bear, and I bet you that's a topic that you haven't addressed a whole bunch. Let's talk to Matt Burgess, and let's talk about a polar bear hunt. Matt, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Thanks. Good morning, Luke.
Yeah, good morning to you, bud. I can only imagine how exciting that would be to go up on the ice, you know, and hunt those giant polar bear. I will say this, and I want to say this right up front. The money's generated for all that, for those hunts, for polar bear, I know they go back into, probably without the hunts, there might not even be any polar bear. And I think that's a true statement, Matt, you know?
That is a true statement. If we didn't do what we did in collaboration with the Inuit communities that have been hunting those bears on record for over 4,000 years, that we would, you know, just by those actions alone, we keep the population going. I mean, the population is, since they incorporated the Marine Mammal Act, I think it was 2007 or 2008. I can't remember. People ask me that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I need to go back and look. But when the United States put the polar bear in the Marine Mammal Act, which caused, we can't bring them back into the United States. They said at that time that the population was going to dwindle, and you know, all this is really has done is hurt the Inuit communities. I mean, they're basically, we said to them, we know more than you do, even though you've hunted these for 4,000 years on record.
Right.
I think they've hunted them longer than that, but yeah. So the between the Marine Mammal Act and what we look at the numbers today, so back then it was around 20,000 bears that they had on record, and now we've got 28,000 bears on record. So we haven't changed any in the same amount of tags are allotted that were allotted then, so you can, and they're filling those tags. And most countries allow the polar bear to be brought in. It's just we've got this issue with the United States that I guess out of ignorance and this global warming nonsense that they brought up, they've caused just a divide in conversation. So we look at all that and say that, hey, we've got 8,000 more birds than we did then. And now we got to look at what that's doing to the ring seal population.
Yeah.
So the ring seal, that's what these bears primarily live on. And so the poor ring seals are taking a beating on this right now. And so back to what you're saying is on, being out on the ice is probably one of the greatest and biggest privileges of my life. I'd say this is the top two hunts I've ever been on in my life.
And folks, Matt has been, he's been there and done that, some places that it's hard to imagine. I've talked to Matt a lot, and he's told me some stories about, you've been a lot of places, Matt, all over the world. You know, and we'll get into the adventure of the hunt and camping out with the Inuit people and all that, that would be as much fun as the hunt itself, I think. But, you know, and I know you can write a book about what I do not know about a polar bear, and that's a fact. Now, I could just picture, you know, an opening in the ice. How do they hunt those seals? I mean, I guess they just, do you have any idea how they actually, I could picture one kind of stalking around openings. They have to have some open water, don't they?
Well, surprisingly, I thought the same thing. Yeah, they do. So a lot of bears concentrate on the ice flow. So where it's broken up, they do hunt that. But these seals actually den up, and so they'll create these dens. And so even the Inuits, how they hunt them, same as the polar bears, they're just cruising along. You'll see like a little hump in the ice, and you'll know. And so the polar bears will actually pounce on it and break through it, and they'll actually get to the ring seals that way. So they burrow in from up underneath and create these little domes. And the Inuits do the same thing. They'll actually, as we're cruising along looking for polar bears, they'll see these little mounds, and they'll hurry up and run over, and they'll jump as high as they can and hit the ground as hard as they can, and they'll actually cave through into these dens, and they'll try to get the ring seals that way. Polar bears do the same thing. So if they're not on the ice floe, that's how they go after them.
Somewhat like beaver. They come in from underneath and a little dome. Yeah, I'll be.
Same idea.
Same deal. Okay, well, so you're going to, I guess, snowmobiles are used to get, I would imagine you have to cover a good bit of ice to find them, right? The polar bear.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. It's, we went out 150 miles from the village, and, we're on snowmobiles. We're cruising along the ice, it just feels like you're going to the end of the world.
And I bet.
It's 150 miles. So to give you an idea, in Alaska, I'll do around 150 miles a day on spring bear snowmobile, and we can cover a lot of ground quickly. There you're doing 150 miles. And you imagine, like, when you think about ice, sometimes people think about like a lake that's frozen that just is somewhat smooth. This is not the case. This is the roughest ice you've ever seen in your life. The best way to describe it is it's like an explosion went off and then it froze. Somehow it froze midair. It's just these massive ice, chunks of ice all over, you know, that you have to navigate around. And we call them the minefields. And so you go into these minefields and you're just weaving in and out of really rough conditions. But yeah, we use snowmobiles. We all pull a sled. So each sled has a purpose. It could have fuel, camping gear. We pull one sled that has all the sled dogs, because we do have to pursue them with a dog sled. So we carry the dogs with the sled on top. And then once we're in the actual hunting phase, we deploy the dog team out. But so we take off through the ice and going as fast as you can through the rough conditions. And it takes a couple days to get to the hunting ground. So that's more towards ice flow. So that's where all the action starts.
Okay.
And the time of year we were going is kind of their, that's when the boars and the sows are getting into rut. So you see more activity with the male and females, getting together. There's a lot of fighting that's going on between the boars, which is pretty interesting. I mean, you see a lot of battle scars on these bears. I mean, we're talking about the toughest conditions on planet Earth. I cannot think of a tougher condition than being out on the ice, you know, negative whatever degrees, and how these animals have survived. And it's just an amazing feat. It's just, it makes us realize, Luke, how weak we are as humans whenever you go out there and you spend some time with Inuits that have lived this way their whole lives.
Oh, man. And a mature boar polar bear, if he were standing on his hind legs, I've seen them in museums. That's as close as I. They are huge, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. They can get really big. They're a longer animal. So like compared to a brown bear, brown bears, I think are wider. The polar bears longer. And so they square up a little bit differently, but yeah, they're extremely long animals, but standing on their hind legs, impressive to watch.
Oh, I bet to see one in in his native habitat there. So are they, when you're actually hunting them, do you usually just spot one, or you know, you, or you might see a male and female together, or are they? I couldn't imagine you just see a whole bunch of them, but maybe you do. You know,
I think on that trip we saw four polar bears.
Okay.
And most, so when you see one with a female, that's a pretty good sign, even from a long distance away, that's a mature boar. He's probably won most of the battles.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to get a look at him.
Right.
That's kind of the idea. When we spotted, the bear that we harvested, we were just glassing, and I mean, immediately saw him with a female, and you could just tell by his stride, this is a really big bear. And once we had him down, I was just looking at the battle scars this bear has been through.
Oh,
and
man. Yeah.
Missing teeth from fighting. I mean, just like absolute warriors on the ice. I mean, some of the most just brutal animals in a fight that I can imagine being in. A polar bear, you know, it's one of the few animals on planet Earth that'll pursue humans for a food source.
You know, I wanted to talk about that. I want, for my education as much as anything, they will. I've read that, and I know it's a fact. So they will track, I guess, probably not, like you guys were in somewhat of a convoy, I guess. You had a bunch of motors running and everything else on your snowmobiles, but I guess a lone person up there could be in trouble, right? I don't know.
I really believe that they're a respecter of no one. I don't think if they're in a group, if you're in a group or not, they just look at you as like a ring seal.
Yeah.
And we had another group that had went up prior to us. I'm friends with, and I was talking to him about his hunt and that we had sent him on. And he made the comment that after they had a bear down, they had to get out of there quickly because there was a couple of polar bears coming in to check out what was going on. And they just look at you like a food source. And there was probably four or five people there. And they don't care. They have no fear, really no fear of humans at any level. And it might be the lack of interaction with them,
yeah.
But according to the Inuits that, you know, we've gotten to know and become friends with, that they'll stay out of town for the most part, unless certain times a year they're looking for food source. You know, I could see them doing that, but when you're on the ice, that's their ground. They own that.
Oh,
and
man.
You treat it that way.
Yep. Well, Matt, I want you to stay with us. Folks, we need to take a quick break, but one segment with Matt is not enough on these polar bears. He's going to come back. We're going to talk some more about his polar bear hunt. So take a quick break and hang with us. Folks, I want to tell you about one of my long-term partners, and that is Pyramid Air. The website is pyramydair.com. They're a one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Big bores, little bores, PCP guns, Springers, you name it. All different brands, some great air gun supplies, but also a whole lot more. Archery, ammo, optics, shooting and outdoor gear, action sports, all this stuff can be found right there and ordered through Pyramid Air. So remember, go online to pyramydair.com.